I'm Casper Van Dien.
Hi, I'm Cynthia Rothrock.
Hi, I'm Christos Gate.
Hey, this is writer Fred Van Lente.
Hi, this is Ruth Fletcher Gate.
I'm Barry Gregory.
Hi, this is Derek Donovan.
And this is Victor Dandridge.
Hey, this is Kevin Sorbo here, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. And really, do some thinking, seriously.
We're on the road, we're going home to the place where wild nerds roam.
Hey man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible James Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. Comics talk. Comics talk.
Everybody, and welcome to episode, I believe, 46 of Thinking Outside the Long Box. We took a small break to work on cosplay costumes for the year and to get our panels and everything ready. But we're ready and raring to go. How's everybody doing? My good friend Mike Manning, how are you?
I am fat and happy. Thank you for asking.
Fat and happy is the name of my Meatloaf cover band. Joshua Opper, how are you, sir?
I am doing pretty well. I am just loving my commute back and forth to Hartford so I can catch up on our own podcasts.
That is a great time to catch up on our podcast. We have 45 of them now. That's 40. That's like 2 days straight of pure listening to ourselves talk. How are you doing there, LT?
I'm doing fine, Tom.
No backstory, nothing else. That's it. Just doing fine.
I'm sorry. There's no backstory for me. It's just another cold day in Boston, and I'm doing fine.
I'm having a great day myself. I went and ate at my favorite Chinese restaurant. I realized that I eat like the bad guy in an anime cartoon. Have you guys ever noticed that before about me?
Yes. I have seen you do it before. But what was so special about today, Tom?
The thing that was so special about today for me was one of the cute little waitresses wiped my face for me from behind me without asking. Like, she just kind of snuck up behind me and just started wiping me down.
That is a special kind of slobbering.
Yeah.
Hope you left her good.
That's not, oh, I always do. I eat there every single week. I do my little walk that I do here in the city, and every Tuesday, that's where I stop and I eat. They know me. They see me. They're all smiles when I come in.
So what time did you eat at the Chinese restaurant, huh?
About 11.
I see how it is. Didn't even call your friend to see if you wanted to do lunch. I understand.
What happened last time I asked you if you wanted to have lunch?
I was busy.
I'm assuming he got covered in food?
No, he was in Atlanta. Made me feel like an idiot. I'm like, hey, man, I'm right up the street. You want to have lunch? He's like, sure, I'm in Atlanta. I'm like, great, stay right where you are. I'll come get you, you dumbass.
I was kind of hoping he'd just sit there in the lobby. Thanks for asking, Tom.
Who gives a shit? I wish you were dead. Speaking of dead, this week's episode is going to be about our favorite dead person of all, well, one of our favorite dead people of all times, Dead Man, a.k.a. Boston Brand. Mike, why don't you give us a little background on Boston Brand? Or is it Boston Brand, right?
Yes, Boston Brand was
Boston
his,
Brand.
His name when he was alive. He's come to be known as the Dead Man. The Dead Man is literally a spirit who was infused by the power of a Hindu god to be able to walk the earth and seek out vengeance against the person that killed him. So he is immaterial. However, he is able to possess people and take over their bodies. It's kind of like a combination of The Fugitive, that old TV show where a killer kills this doctor's wife and he is framed for it. The killer has a hook, and the whole series he's looking for the murderer of his wife. In this case, the Dead Man is looking for his own murderer. And it's also a prelude to Quantum Leap, where a dead guy just keeps on jumping from body to body, trying to right what has gone wrong. So originally created in 1967, he was designed by Carmine Infantino, who, as many know, did some of the classic covers and the Silver Age of comics. Later on, became an editor of DC Comics. At the time he was created in 1967, Arnold Drake was approached by the editor of Strange Adventures and asked to create a new character to save the comic because its sales were failing. Originally, he got the job because he had done the same thing with another comic, My Greatest Adventure, where he created the Doom Patrol. This time he was trying to think of something that would be a little steeped in Asian mysticism. So that's why he came up with the idea of the dead man. And at first they were really worried that the Comic Code Authority would have a problem with this because it actually depicted somebody getting shot. In fact, every issue of the first few issues of the comic, they would go over a recap of how the dead man came to be. So in every issue, there was somebody getting shot, which was against the Comic Code Authority. But because of the backstory, I guess they were able to get away with it. In fact, that leads me to my favorite series, which was the actual beginning, the Strange Adventures. If you want, you can go on to Comixology and pick up the anthology. Neil Adams was one of is credited for Dead Man. He wasn't one of the creators. Again, that was Arnold Drake and Carmine Infantino. But Neil Adams, after the first issue that Carmen Infantino drew, took over as the penciler. And because of his pencils, Dead Man actually became very popular. It led Neil Adams on to better and bigger and better things like Batman and Green Lantern, Green Arrow. But he gets all of his start in Dead Man, and you can see it's classic Neil Adams art. It's cutting edge for 1967. And later on, after Carmine Infantino decides to give up plotting the script, he turned it over to Neil Adams, who, although Neil Adams is one of the great artists of our time, he's not one of the greatest writers of our time, but he still does a decent job writing the stories. I think it's all one of the reasons I like the early issues, like from 202 to probably 220 something, is because it's got a kind of a noir feel. It's not the typical comic book superhero. Boston Brand is a jerk to everybody when he was alive, and he's still a jerk even as the dead man.
And as you mentioned, you thought the Comic Book Code of Authority might have a problem with this particular character, but obviously, you know, he slipped by, and he's still with us today. I didn't get to really enjoy the dead man until I started seeing him as a member of Justice League Dark, which, if you listen to past episodes, you know I'm a big fan of. I really enjoyed, you know, his relationship with Constantine. Constantine seems to be one of those comic book characters that you either love or you hate. And the superheroes don't seem to trust him very well. And Boston Brand, the dead man, seems to be one of the few that seems to have a little bit more faith in Constantine than some of his others on the team. Or maybe he's faking it. It's kind of hard to tell. But I really do enjoy Boston Brand in the Justice League Dark comic books, especially his thing with Constantine. And I did have a bunch of the older issues, but he was never one of the ones that gravitated straight to. He was always one of those that would be like the second part of A Brave and the Bold or one of those kind of things. So wasn't one of my go-tos, but I always did enjoy him. How about you, Tommy? What was your favorite Dead Man run?
Well, I did like him in Justice League Dark, but I kind of didn't really get the whole having a relationship with someone, because I felt that was a little weird, considering that Dead Man has to inhabit someone else's body. So I always found that aspect in Justice League Dark a little weird. What I really liked the best is in the DC Universe Presents from 2011 to 2013. The first half of that was Dead Man story all alone, and the story itself is just kind of mediocre, but there's a scene in the story that is just awesome where Dead Man is breaking into a sort of occult club because he wants to find out a bit more about his backstory and why he's kind of being manipulated by Rama, the Hindu goddess. And so he breaks in and he just kind of takes over person to person as he's doing this, just to avoid all the traps that prevent prevent this type of thing. And he gets to the bottom layer with the fallen angel, the librarian, and he forces the librarian to give him his book. And he forces some information out of the librarian. And just the way he did that and the way that scene was portrayed was just, I thought, the best use of Deadman that I had seen. Other than that, in general, I kind of like when Deadman takes over Batman, because Batman in the DC universe is kind of an almost infallible character. He's always planning like 3 or 4 steps ahead, if not more. And just to have him kind of suddenly taken over by Deadman kind of seems unnerving and unusual, and I kind of like watching that.
Do you know what issue that was when he took over Batman? I don't remember when that was.
I don't. I mean, he's done it a few times, and I don't remember the individual issue numbers, but every time it happens, I kind of like have – I cheer a little bit inside.
Because take that, Batman.
Exactly.
Yeah, some of the Brave and Bold issues that you'd have to go back and check out.
Yeah, because, I mean, nobody really kind of messes with Batman's head that much, and yet Deadman can just kind of take over body, you know, so it really is kind of nifty when he does it to Batman.
Well, how about you, Josh? What's one of your favorites with Deadman?
I have to say, I don't really have a favorite. I've never really read Deadman. I've come across him in a few things, mostly the Deadman Lego figure is awesome, I have to say. but mostly I think where I've seen him was Justice League Unlimited. He had a great couple episodes in Justice League Unlimited. And otherwise I've just seen him sort of sprinkled through the DC Universe, but I've never sat down and read him in any length. Although I just picked up the first 12 issues in Comixology were on sale. So I just grabbed it. I'll give it a read. I'll tell you what I think the next time we do Deadman in 12 years or so. We circle back. I'm going to circle back on this one.
The
is that it? We do it every 12 years?
Circling back.
It's like Deadman tradition has, now.
The Deadman's appeared in a lot of different multimedia in addition to being on... I had completely forgotten that he was on Justice League Unlimited, but he was also in Batman the Brave and the Bold cartoon, where he helped Batman against the Gentleman Ghost, if you guys remember that one.
I do. Yep. That's a good one.
Yeah, I remember that one. That was great.
And
you know, another nice thing about Deadman is that he doesn't really have an analog in the Marvel Universe. He's kind of DC's own character.
Oh, I'll agree with that. I like to shut on everything you say normally, but I think that's right. I can't think of anything right off the bat that, I really can't think of a counterpart. Anybody?
No, I can't think of anything.
Wheels are turning. No, good call. Good call, LT.
Even a blind squirrel finds a nut now and again. Good job, LT.
Usually they just run on the road and get run over.
The Deadman also they tried to develop a TV show for it. The creator of Supernatural was supposed to be helming that, and Guillermo del Toro has expressed interest in doing a Deadman movie.
Yeah, actually, I was just reading that he still has an option for it.
I think that would work well. He loves the whole gothic kind of vibe that Deadman has.
Yeah, if anyone's going to get the visuals right, I think it would be del Toro. It does. Now I noticed that he has an option, but I don't see anyone who would play a good Deadman. Can anybody think of an actor that would do that any justice?
Who would play a good Deadman?
What about
Deadman?
That guy from Quantum Leap?
No, Scott Bakula is not Deadman.
No.
The guy who plays Spock in the new Star Trek movies would probably make a good Deadman.
He is a really good actor. I've seen him do. How about the guy that's who's the Kylo Ren?
Oh, no.
Really, that guy's a great actor. I've seen him do a lot of really good roles. He's good. That's all I'm saying.
I need somebody with a Boston accent.
So you need Ben Affleck in there? I don't want Ben Affleck doing a superhero movie.
We don't need Ben Affleck anywhere. Nobody needs Ben Affleck for anything, Tom. Anything. He's never been needed.
Well, maybe this would be a good time for our fans to write in at luckybastard@outsidethelongbox.com to tell us who they think would be a good dead man.
Who would be a good dead man? That's a good question. Just saying. All right. Well, does anyone else have any finishing thoughts on Boston Blackie, a.k.a. the dead man?
Boston Brand, not Boston Blackie.
Boston but here's.
Oh, I'm sorry. You said Boston Blackie.
I've got to say that in the New 52, the retcon, he was pretty much a high wire trapeze type of person in the circus that died, and I didn't really like that retcon. I like the idea of him being a cop who got killed much better.
That's not a retcon. He has always been a circus acrobat.
Yeah, what are you talking about? He got shot right off the high wire. That's why he wears that ridiculous costume.
Yeah, that's what the costume he was wearing. He was called the dead man when he was performing because he would perform without a net.
Maybe I'm thinking of Spectre.
You are thinking of Spectre.
So, well, good. That obliterates the original good perception you had earlier. You're back to square one, Tommy. That makes me feel better. That makes me feel better as a man. Go ahead.
Quick trivia question for you guys.
Oh, I love this.
What is the dead man's brother's name?
Tom.
Don't know that one.
Is it Lucky?
Cleveland.
Cleveland?
Cleveland.
Yes. Boston Brand's brother is Cleveland Brand.
Cleveland Brand.
Huh. My name is Cleveland Brand, and I am here to say, Erica.
Sorry. Well, that does. If no one has any other thoughts about Boston Brand, let's go over to my good friend Mike. And Mike, you can tell us what's at the front of the long box.
In the front of the long box today, I have a new series called The Infamous Iron Man. It is being written by Brian Michael Bendis with art by Alex Maleev and Matt Hollingsworth. So the basic storyline is that after the Civil War II, Tony Stark is no longer able to continue as Iron Man, and Victor Von Doom has decided that he will come in and take Iron Man's place, much to the chagrin of pretty much every superhero. That's it. That's all I got. I'm giving it a high recommendation, yeah.
All right. What was the motivation for Doom to be a good guy?
So after the Secret Wars, Reed Richards punished Doom by curing him of all the scars on his face and told him that the reason that he could never beat him was because he was totally flawed at his character. And so Doom has taken that to heart and is trying to become a better person so that way he can beat Reed Richards in the future.
Well, if that doesn't, that sounds noble. Oh, good. At least he's doing it for all the right reasons.
Doom will try to beat Reed Richards.
Well, I got to be a good guy for a while? I'll give it a shot. Tommy, what do you got at the back of the long box?
I've got Rocket Girl. Rocket Girl is a story about an adolescent in the year 2014 in an alternate reality where adolescents in New York are the police. The police are funded by a private corporation, but the corporation is, well, how shall we say, evil. And so this girl, Dayoung Johansson, goes back in time to 1986 to prevent the evil corporation from basically starting and getting its foothold and doing all the bad things and creating the universe that she's used to living in. It was a delightful little story about a woman with a rocket pack who likes to fly and solve crime and deal with bad guys. It's a charming little thing.
Well, that's... So, and do you remember what year that was?
It came out in 2014, and there's a couple of issues that have come out since then, but it was a nice little quick read. Once again, you're not going to see anything earth-shattering in this book, but it is entertaining and the art is great. The artist is Amy Reeder, and the writing is done by Brandon Montclair. And it's an Image comic book.
So, all right, well, I will check that out because I like it sounds like a good read. For my little part today when we do social justice issues in comic books, I can't believe I haven't talked about this. I'm actually going to have to go back and make sure I haven't. Do you guys remember me ever talking about Persepolis?
No.
No.
Good.
I'm familiar, but I don't remember talking about it.
Yeah, I really want to talk about Persepolis. Persepolis is a terrific graphic novel. Much like Mouse, it's a black and white graphic novel. Unlike Mouse, it's not drawn as cartoon characters. It is a girl's story, Mary Jane Satrapi, growing up in Iraq during revolutionary times, and her struggle with being not only a woman, but also being a moderate, also maybe even a bit of a progressive, in a time of a very conservative government coming to power. And, you know, her backlash against that. It's a great read, very interesting. You often don't get to see such a candid view of what it's like to live in a country as alien to us as Iran is. I think I said Iraq earlier, but I meant Iran. And Mary Jane Satrapi really gives a terrific, great unflinching look at her own childhood, including her own mistakes and problems that she had growing up. I can't recommend this enough. Everyone should really read Persepolis if you're at all interested in really understanding, or at least trying to understand, you know, the Middle East and the history and how we're still seeing the Iranian Revolution played out. Yeah, it's terrific.
It's one of the most banned books in the U.S.
There's a lot of reasons why, a lot of reasons to attempt to ban it. There's a very unflinching look at sex, politics, religion. I can see why tight-butted people might not want it in a library, but it is very much worth the read. And what were you going to say there, Josh?
The translation to film is fantastic. If you haven't seen the animated film, it is it basically mirrors the animation in the graphic novel. It's very well told. The voice acting is very good. I really enjoyed it.
Unfortunately, I didn't see the translated version. I saw an early copy where it was all you had to read along. There was a subtitle.
Yeah, and I saw a subtitle version a long time ago. It was pretty good.
Everyone told me that when they finally got around to making it an English version of it, it's really good. I haven't seen that yet, so I'm going to have to go out of my way and make sure I watch that. I haven't thought about Persepolis in a while, but I was thinking about this subject and looking through my collection, and it jumped out at me, and I can't believe I haven't done this before.
Wasn't it also on the list of books that Tony Isabella said you must read?
That's a pretty big list, so yeah, I bet it's in there somewhere.
Yeah,
there were 100 books in there. Yeah. But that's kind of a tangent there, LT.
Just for total accuracy, her name is Marjane. It's pronounced Marjane.
Marjane?
Yeah.
Thank you. I do not mind being corrected. I'm looking at the word right in front of me right now, and there is no Y there, so it's definitely Marjane. Marjane Satrapi. And thank you for that, Josh. And Josh, as long as I'm talking to you, why don't you take us out on a tangent?
Sure thing. Our listening audience may or may not hear some of the things we talk about as Mike edits out some of the ridiculousness. But we were talking about childhood actors earlier. Specifically, you were talking about Haley Joel Osment from The Sixth Sense. So who is your favorite child actor who made it to adult actor?
Maya Beyonce. I love her.
Hey, that's mine right there.
Yeah. Okay. So now I liked Maya Bialik. I loved her when she was Blossom. As a nerd, people ask me all the time, don't you love that TV show? What's the one you guys are talking about that I can't stand? the new one.
Big Bang Theory.
The Big Bang Theory. And people are like, don't you love The Big Bang Theory? I'm like, no. I don't like it. I don't think it's funny. I don't find it funny at all. And everyone's like, but don't you get the jokes? I'm like, yes, I understand the jokes. They're just not funny.
The problem with the Big Bang Theory for us is it's blackface for nerds. You got you got beautiful people up there pretending to be nerds, you know, we're like, yeah, we get the jokes because you got a couple nerd writers in the back, but those aren't us, you know. We know these guys clean up really nice. And you know what? I'm going to change my answer to Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Mark Paul Gosselaar.
That's right. Zach from Saved by the Bell. Yeah.
Okay. I'll buy that. I like Frank Cornabash. It was kind of funny.
Sure, it was. And also, right now, he's in the TV show Pitch, which I did not think I would like. My wife loves Pitch. I didn't think I'd like it. I kind of like it. And he is terrific in this. I mean, he is acting the shit out of this as a almost done with his career catcher who has to deal with the first female pitcher in Major League Baseball. And you would think it would just be – yeah, he's good in that, right?
Yeah, he's good. My wife didn't even recognize him at first.
Neither did I, really.
All right, Tom.
You put a beard on Zach. Who knows?
Tom, if you're changing yours, I'm going to change mine to Drew Barrymore.
You don't get to change shit. Drew Barrymore, she made it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's really main. That's a real mainstream choice, LT. I'll give you that. And when I met Tom Green, honestly, the only question I wanted to ask him was how she was in bed. But I restrained myself because I'm a gentleman.
Plus, Tom Green would have given you a very vivid answer, probably.
Probably.
Like, more vivid than you want.
No, I don't think
Green's all about the love.
Than I want.
Yeah. Emma Watson's growing up really nicely, too. Just saying.
Pervert.
Yeah, you're getting a little pervy there, pal.
Yeah, pretty much. You've gone too far, Tom.
I'm going to go with Fred Savage.
Okay. Oh, and I'm the pervert.
He's so pretty now.
I just want to brush his hair.
So creepy.
I really do.
I don't know if you guys got a chance to see The Grindr, his show. With
I love The Grindr.
I haven't Grindr seen it. Was What's really about?
Good. Oh my god.
Rob Lowe plays a TV lawyer who decides to move in with his brother, who's an actual lawyer, and help him with his law firm.
Right. I've seen I've seen some stuff for that. I haven't watched any of it. Is it funny?
It's pretty funny. I think it's already been canceled, though. It wasn't very
bad. That's too bad.
But it was pretty funny. It wasn't bad.
But if you ever watched Working, that was one of Fred Savage's shows that he actually created. And he's been directed a whole bunch of episodes of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, along with a whole bunch of other stuff.
And full circle back to comic books, in all the DC cartoon world, he's Hawkman. He voices Hawkman.
Oh, did not know that.
Justice League Unlimited, he's always Hawkman. Fred Savage. There you go.
Savage Hawkman. Voice of Hawkman is Fred Savage.
Absolutely.
Is that everybody? Everybody got one in there?
I think so.
I think so.
Well, that just about does it for episode 45, unless anyone's got any closing things. Maybe a couple of things, maybe a couple shout-outs, maybe a couple of other things, huh?
Huh? Huh? Little plug?
Huh?
I'm gonna go with my friendlycomics.com, my neighborhood comic shop, Friendly Neighborhood Comics, over there in Bellingham. Go over there. The place is clean. It's nice.
I'm going to go with my new place that I work, Veggie Galaxy. If you're a vegetarian or a vegan or if you just love animals, come on over and I'll cook you up something really nice in the kitchen. I'm one of the new bakers there, and I am really having a lot of fun making food that doesn't kill animals.
That's right. And if you just feel superior and want to tell people you're vegan, stop in.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any sugar-free stuff?
No sugar-free for you. Sugar is totally vegan. By the way, a CrossFitter, a vegan, and a marathoner walk into a restaurant. You know how you can tell? Because they told everybody as soon as they walked in. That's why. How about you there, Mike? You got any plugs?
Well, I would like to thank Kirby Crackle, as always, for providing the geek rock music for us at the end of this episode. You will hear their song, Set Your Phasers to Sexy, off of their album, Sounds Like You. I'd also like to plug, if you have a Facebook account, go check out Nolan Strong, all one word. It is a little four-year-old boy who is fighting cancer. He is very cute, and he likes receiving letters and notes. So if you get a chance, go to Nolan Strong on Facebook.
Well, that's great. Also, let's plug our Twitter account. And we are, of course, outside the Long Box, at the Long Box, guys. You can talk to us. You can see what we're posting. You can see what people are posting about us. And just get in on the conversation. If you like talking about comic books, post something up there. And you never know. We might say hello.
And as always, you can also email luckybastard at outsidethelongbox.com. This month, we're going to give away Supreme Power, High Command, a wonderful book about the Squadron Supreme, and a fantastic read. So to enter, just email us at luckybastard@outsidethelongbox.com. And as always, I would like to plug IanLino.com.
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 IanLino.com. IanLino.com. Purveyor of fine t-shirts and other geeky things. They just put up some stained glass prints. They've got one of the Battlestar Galactica Viper that I am definitely going to pick up. Can't say enough good things about our friends at IanLino.com.
Here's one of the great things about that. He's got so much stuff. Like, if you are out there and you're looking to buy a present for the geek in your life, and you're like, I don't want to get just a T-shirt, that's all right. You can go get a Doctor Who TARDIS throw for your couch. Or if you want to go out and get your significant other is a Firefly fan, go out and get a Serenity pillow that he can make. He has a whole bunch of options on his website. Go check it out.
What about some Johnny Skywalker rocks glasses for your scotch? I mean, who doesn't like a Johnny Skywalker rocks glass?
That's what I'm drinking my Harvey Bullock out of right now.
Exactly. Everybody loves it. Everybody. That's who. Everyone.
All right, that's going to plug. No, we should also plug the New Orleans Comic-Con, WizardCon, that's happening in January. We still don't know if we've been picked up for any of our panels yet. And aren't we also trying to go to Pensacon this year, Tom?
Yeah, we're almost guaranteed for that one. We have like seven in there. And the guy, the Pensacon guy likes us a lot. And he's told us, yeah, we're just trying to figure out how much we're going to use you. So might be a super busy weekend for us. Might not be. Who knows? And that does it for us here at the Long Box, guys. Thanks for listening. And as I always say, don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love.
Set your phasers to sexy. Comic books, like the way you look, like the way you always mess with your hair. Playing PS3, it's just you and me in my dreams, and I want to go to there. I like you, I like you, I like the way you're ignoring me. I like you, I like you. So set your phasers to sexy. It's the way you read your books that affects me.